coming from the Springboks and Condia over the top it goes. Creel kicks ahead.
Welcome to SA Rugby Podcast.
Knocked on. Man.
Hi everybody and welcome. I got James Dalton with me today, and James.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
How are you, my friend?
I'm always good when I'm in your company.
Liar. Huge weekend of rugby.
Certainly.
And it's. I think this is where the tournament kicks off for the rugby aficionados, I think.
Look, definitely. I think all the teams that are in the quarterfinals certainly are the form side.
Yeah.
They certainly deserve to be there,
yeah.
Or albeit lucky to be there, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly this is the weekend where the intensity almost quadruples for the tournament because now there are no more opportunities to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You lose, that's the end of your World Cup.
You lose, you go home.
Yeah, you lose, you snooze and go home.
Unless you're Australia, it's a long, long way back. Eh?
It's a very, very long way back.
Should we start with the main course and talk about South Africa v Japan?
Yeah, you know, just talking to Ollie outside before we walked in, yeah,
saying, Money boy.
Yeah, saying you know that Japan are getting way more attention in terms of their supposed possibility of running the box close. I don't see that. I mean, goodness gracious, you know. However, albeit said. The tournament certainly is a form tournament, and Japan have shown that where they've had form and they've got through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
You know that, be it as it may, they did beat Ireland, who at the start of the tournament were ranked number one in the world.
Yeah.
They have beaten Scotland, or they did beat Scotland, who was a super Six Nations team.
Yeah.
So they've beaten two high. First tier the rugby nations, but no, we're going to have too much ammunition in our artillery. There's no ways they're going to run us close.
Yeah, you know, listening to what you're saying, I think that the dream ends for Japan here. I think there's a couple things. One, they're just not good enough. But they didn't leave anything out on that field against Scotland. I mean, it was a wonderful display of rugby, and it's a great story. And that's their David and Goliath story for me.
Yeah, yeah.
To qualify for that round. That's enough to qualify for that round. This isn't David and Goliath. This is David versus Goliath on steroids. You know, it's the Springboks are well coached.
Yeah.
They've got depth that I've never seen before. And they're going to beat Japan by 20 points plus.
Yeah, I my exact sentiment.
I can't. You talk this game up all you want, and yeah, okay, I'll eat humble pie. We'll bake some humble pie on Monday if it goes pear shaped.
Look, it's been a dream World Cup for Japan. You know, host nation, getting through to the quarterfinals. So far, they can't put a foot wrong. But again, in saying that, they've played some really, really good rugby. Their continuity of play has been absolutely brilliant. Keeping the ball afloat, keeping the ball alive, has been remarkable.
Yeah, and how's Rassie and his team going to beat them?
Well, I think by doing the basics, you know, eventually wearing them down, you know, scrumming them, tiring them at scrum time, driving them at the line-out time, unless they neutralize that by sacking the line-out early.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have too much for them in the scrum, and eventually, you know, you get worn down in the forwards when you get beaten at scrum time.
Yeah.
And then just overall dominance, you know, I personally don't think we should kick too much at the Japanese. I think we should carry the ball a lot, keep that ball alive. Then, you know, I think eventually after 10 minutes into the second half, I think they'll fade away significantly.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, when I look at analysing teams, there's one analysis I look at. There's not one player on the Japanese team that would make the Springboks squad.
No. Look, I think I'm going to take some tongue lashing when I make this comment, but no. I've never been scared of that. But the reality is the following.
We're not going to talk about the Bishop scandal.
No, okay, please not. I'm mortified after that. the Japanese side is actually an average super rugby team in all reality.
Would you even give them the level of average?
Well, they are average at best, without insulting them, you know, albeit that they're in the quarterfinals. But that is the reality. They're an average Super Rugby team. Yeah. So they shouldn't be able to even come close to the box. No. But as I said, you know, when you playing better rugby on the day, you've got a bit of form. They've adapted to them to the surrounds and the conditions, mm-hmm. and that's why they've come out on top so far.
Yeah, I think Rassie will play a conservative game to start with, mm. wear them down, go through the phases, do the basics right, just purely physically dominate them.
100%,
and then earn the right to go wide, you know, and. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like it's the all black pattern of rugby. Keep that ball.
Yeah.
Keep that ball. Keep on hammering them.
Yeah.
You know, eventually they will crumble. You know, their walls will come crumbling down. And they, you know, defensively, you can only defend for so long.
Yeah.
You know, and we've shown that we also have some form in this tournament.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's going to start off as a contest. It's certainly not going to end as a contest.
Well, I'm hoping there's no load shedding.
Wishful finger.
Yeah, but that game's on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the other games. So you're predicting an easy.
Yeah, I'd say minimum of anything between 25 to 35 points.
Okay.
In favor of the Springboks.
Yeah, I think so. The 12 and the 14 and a half points that the bookies are giving Japan, you don't think is enough.
Mm.
South Africa is going to beat them by more than 15.
Absolutely.
100% agree.
Definitely.
For me, better the year.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to England, Australia. And I don't really like talking about Australia because they're probably the worst side left in the tournament.
Look, you know,
and that rolling
as a former Springbok,
yeah,
you know, losing to either one of those is like just a no-no. So, you know, even
were you a former Springbok?
Somewhere along the line. So, yeah, you know, that contest for me, it's neither yan nor there. I mean, I would prefer that England are knocked out because I do believe they are the better of the two teams. So for anyone to progress beyond the semis and into the final, I would rather have Australia. Going further in the competition simply because I think we have the same sentiments that we don't really believe that they're a good rugby team at the moment. However, in saying that,
yes,
they've actually surprised me. They've played some really, really good rugby as well in this
tournament. We've been watching a different tournament. I think they've been so terrible. I mean, they barely beat Fiji. Look, I think the conditions haven't been
conducive for good rugby, with the humidity, etc., and the rain, and etc. Yeah.
And I just, you know, Michael Chuck has got a face that needs to be smacked. I mean,
we should put a brown paper bag over his head.
And he's just miserable all the time.
He leaves such a bitter taste in everyone's mouth after an interview or after a game that it leaves rugby in a bit of a bad light, to be quite honest.
Yeah, he's almost got excuses. And the reality is that if he was a CEO with his performance over the 4 years, he wouldn't have a job. And God knows why he's coaching Australia there. And when I look at England, you know, they've impressed me in the tournament.
Yeah. England are an incredibly good rugby team. They are very, very well coached by a very intelligent and very tactically astute coach. And they've got.
He can be a bit of a prick, though.
Yeah, he has his moments. He has his moments.
Well, I think he knows how to.
He can be a bit grumpy, but he's got good wit about himself.
Oh yeah,
and
a keen sense of humor.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it is a well balanced rugby coach, and the England team from the starting 15 right through to their bench.
Yeah.
Number one or number two in terms of the reserve are equally good.
And where are you going? Who's winning that game, James?
I would say England.
By?
I'd say England by 7 to 10.
Yeah, exactly where the bookies are.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'd say England by 7 to 10.
Yeah, I think...
Holding thumbs.
Well, I think England will win by double digits.
Okay.
I don't really rate the Australian team, the coach, the CEO, the state of Australian rugby.
Well, again, you know, I said it's about form in this, and if you have to compare the form of the two teams, England certainly have the upper hand in terms of form in this competition.
Yes, Michael Checker said, judge me on this tournament.
Mm.
So, I'm putting out this to Michael Checker, when you lose tomorrow morning, or on Saturday morning, resign.
Please do so.
Do the honourable thing. Don't talk about anything else. Resign.
Yeah.
Do Australian rugby a favour.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now we've got what I can see, what I think is going to be the best game, and the one I'm looking for, well, no, Wales is, but is New Zealand versus Ireland. That should be a cracker.
Yeah, that is going to be, in my opinion, a close game. Again, I'm going to repeat myself. New Zealand are the form team in this contest, yeah, against Ireland. Ireland have blown hot and cold.
Yeah.
But again, they've got Joe Schmidt, also a very clever coach.
Mm.
And they would have, and certainly have analysed the way the All Blacks have played and look at neutralising some of their strengths. So I think it's going to be a very, very good contest.
I think it's going to be a physical, titanic struggle.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some casualties and some sore bodies and bruises going through to the semis for one of those two sides.
Yeah, look, there's no... South Africa have the easiest game on paper.
Yes.
The game's not played on paper, as we know. But, jeez, I don't wonder what's going to be left in the tank to face England between these two teams. And either or, New Zealand, England, or an Ireland, England, semi-finals, also going to be a mouth-watering proposition.
Yeah.
So who are you taking with
Look, I'd have to go with New Zealand, simply because of consistency, and they're just an intelligent rugby team. So and they know how to win, Kevin. With them, you give them two opportunities. They showed against us. We were over them like a rash. We had their backs against the wall. They got two opportunities. They scored. That is where they are incredibly good.
Yeah.
And if Ireland slip, have a period of a slump momentarily, and are not in the game, New Zealand will surpass them and come out on top.
Yeah. What I like in the, I think I agree with what you're saying. I think it's going to be a physical confrontation. It'll be a great battle.
Mm.
But I think New Zealand will prevail. But the bookies are saying that New Zealand are going to win by 13, which I think is a generous assumption.
Yeah, I'm not too opposed to that. I'm not too opposed by that. I think that's pretty spot on.
Yeah. I think Ireland a little bit better than that, and it's going to be a one score game. And
what is your margin?
I think that New Zealand will win by 6.
Okay.
You know? Okay. And 13. Yes, it's a big difference between 13 and 6.
It certainly is.
And then, as a Welshman, Wales versus France.
Yeah, that for me is, you know, everybody talks about the French and the inconsistency.
Oh God, am I going to? I just know where you're going with this. Right, sorry, James.
Look, Kevin, I'm going to say this. I like the Welsh. I like the way they play their rugby.
Yeah.
Their rugby has been very good over the last 4 years. They've beaten South Africa.
Feeling a butt coming on, James.
They've been... No, there's no butt. I'm sitting on my butt. They've beaten South Africa 3 years in a row, albeit in Wales.
Yeah.
They are, on paper, the better side. However, what I've seen with Wales...
However is just a cleverer butt. Sorry, go on.
It's a mincing of words, cleverly. what I saw of late in the tournament with Wales is that when they bring their reserves on, they lose a lot of momentum.
Yeah, and I was chatting to Mark earlier on, and he said exactly the same thing.
So that for me would be a concern, and they also show that, you know, when they got the lead, they're not able to extend it.
Mm.
You know, albeit only against Australia, but again, I don't, you know, the French have actually been consistently, albeit that they're inconsistent, they've actually been consistently good in World Cups, believe it or not.
Yes, they have played in. Yeah. They have made it to the semi-finals and played for medals.
So I think that's gonna be that one could be an upset in terms of if the French arrive on the day, could possibly be the upset of the tournament. But on paper and on form, highly unlikely.
Yeah, if my own head ball should be my uncle.
Yeah, my head ball should be my father.
Exactly. Now, the only thing the France have going for them. When France play New Zealand, they're capable of spectacular results, as they were in 99 at Twickenham. And I was at that game. Wow.
What an upset.
Exactly. What an upset, exactly.
Yeah.
But the only thing they've got going for them in this tournament right now is because they haven't impressed me.
No. You
know, is and there's dissension in that camp, as there always is in a French camp for some reason. You know, you remember the French camp here in for the World Cup in 2010.
Yeah.
Geez, they bombed out of the I mean, this is soccer compared to rugby, but is that they've had a nice rest for this game because of their game with England being
well, that could be a positive or a negative.
Yeah.
With the French being so inconsistent, this could be the undoing.
Well, you played at that level, James. Or is it a negative?
It depends on your form. Going into, you know, having that break and then the momentum that you carry into the following test match. So it's all about your mental form and the level at which the team is performing. Mm. But if you've been playing hot and cold and you have such a long break,
yes,
it can't be good for you and it won't be good for you. And I've seen playing against the French, you know, they start off well and when things go a little bit lopsided for them, they actually start turning on each other. You know, they start name calling their own teammates as opposed to focusing on the opposition.
Absolutely.
So they are a little bit emotional, and I think we've all seen, even in our own personal lives, you know, when you can't detach emotion from things, that's normally where you err and you make wrong mistakes. So apart from them being inconsistent, they are also emotionally all over the place.
Yeah, they're not a well-coached side, I think.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin, it's surprising. You look at how, you know, the dominance of their junior teams in the World Cups. I mean, the kids are massive. They've won two World Cups, am I correct? Two World Cups in a row now, the under-21s.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I think they've won two World Cups, the under-21s. But it just doesn't seem to carry over into their senior team. And if you look how strong the French first division is, and the experience that they garner with all the international players playing in their leagues, you'd think that their rugby would improve.
But maybe that's the problem, because you know they aren't more South African. Aren't South Africans considered? There's a lot more South Africans that play there.
Well,
so
I mean,
maybe they jeopardize the development of their own game.
Yeah,
and I could be wrong, but I haven't. No New Zealanders coached the national side. Mm. If you look at teams that have, with the exception of South Africa, if you look at Wales, rise up the ranks, in Ireland, and even Scotland.
Yeah,
they've all had
foreign. Yeah, quite right. Look, I think there's two sides to it. Either the foreign based players that come and play in France, similarly like they do in England. And England have benefited from it, from the international experience. But yes, there can be that time where, you know, you've got more foreign players playing in your leagues than you have local players. Mm. And for that, it could be a hindrance in terms of growing your own base of talent and the strength of your national side.
Yeah.
But I would certainly think that with all the international influences in all the coaches, players from New Zealand, South Africa, all over the world, that it would improve their standard of rugby. But they seem to just remain on that one. They don't go down, but they don't improve at the same time.
Well, for 5 years they've been barely a tier one nation.
Correct.
You know, and
I mean, you even look at their performances in the Six Nations.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're ending in the middle or second last.
Well, didn't they lose to Fiji last year?
Yeah.
Or was it a draw? Anyway. So you who are you picking in that game?
No, I'd go with Wales. Yeah. I'd go with Wales.
Yeah.
Again, based on how the tournament has progressed in terms of form, I'd go with Wales being the form side. Yeah.
I'll be praying for a Welsh victory.
And what is the bookie spread on that?
6.5. They're saying that Wales will win by 6.5. I'm not It's a dangerous spread because I'm not going to touch it. In fact, I was saying earlier on that I may actually
bet on... It's a bit of a hot potato.
Well, I might bet on France so that if Wales do lose, I have some sort of consolation.
Sure.
But
got some skin in the game then.
Yeah. So let me ask you this question, James. Do you think that there's going to be a red card this weekend?
You know what stands out for me at the moment is how many red cards there's been in this tournament. I mean, yellow cards as well.
Yep.
It's been mind-blowing. And how all of a sudden this high tackle has become a menace in the game of rugby. You know, it was spoken about, it was a concern, and now all of a sudden when we went into this World Cup, there was a lot of talk about it. Yeah. The high tech. And it's almost like it's, you know, when you wake up sleeping dogs, they come to haunt you, and this is exactly what's happening. So it would be a sad day if a red card had to play a role, especially early in a contest, because it waters the competition down. You know, we almost need to find another way of, yes, at the same time keeping the game clean and safe for the players, but not having such a catastrophic effect where you take a player off the field. Maybe even come up with a thing, you know.
Well, it's the one sport where, you know, where someone can be sent off, that the impact is greater than, say, a football game.
Absolutely.
You can put nine men behind the ball and defend and still not get run over. But
quite right.
The parity in these four games between the teams is such that a red card would be so devastating to the team. And you know, unless it's an absolute flagrant red card, where someone's tackled someone in the air and he's done a double somersault and is never going to walk again.
Sure. Well, you're gone out with absolute, like you say, absolute malicious intent.
Yeah.
Yes, then consider it. But the red cards have played a big role in this. You know, maybe we should come up with a format. Yes, you still punish the player, you send him off.
For 10 minutes.
But you allow another player to replace him. Yeah. And then you give maybe an advantage of a 5-meter scrum or 5-meter line out as an advantage to the side who, obviously the transgression was against.
Yeah.
But this playing of 14 men is not healthy for the contest. And especially in a World Cup like this, you don't want this to happen in a semi-final. And less in a final, Kevin.
Yeah.
Because that would just be such a poor end.
Well,
to
it
a
happened
World Cup.
In 2011 with Wales v France.
Yeah.
Their captain, one of the most impactful players at the tournament, and one of the best players at the tournament that year, Warburton was sent off after 15 or 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Look, and I've still almost beat the French.
Yeah. Look, I've played against New Zealand with a red card early on in the first half. And then again,
did you get the red card?
No. I only got one, please. I only got one.
One,
one too many.
Yeah.
And then the red card against England in 2003 with Yannis Labuschagne being sent off.
Yeah.
And I mean, we just got
panel beaten.
I mean, it was like a no show. We landed up losing by 50 points to New Zealand that day.
Yeah.
And we took like a beating of 30 of 5 plus points against, and I think even 50 points against England that
day. I remember I bet on the game and I bet on you guys to win.
I think that was my heaviest defeat against the English. I think certainly my heaviest.
Was that in the Strally days?
Or paranoid Strally.
Shame.
I love and adore him, but he's today. I mean, it was just that times. It was over the top.
Again, we're praying for no red cards.
Please God.
We're hoping that doesn't affect the game. Mm. We're both picking England.
Correct.
We're both picking New Zealand.
Yes.
We're both picking Wales.
Correct.
And we're both picking South Africa to hammer.
There we go. Jeez, we've agreed on in total consensus today.
Maybe the stars are aligned. We should go and get a lotto ticket. James, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kevin. All thanks for having me. Yes. Bless you. Thank you.
Over the top it goes. Creel kicks ahead. And the race is on.